You can tell the Lord has placed this on our heart. You're going to be challenged by it, and it's okay for are you 15 or 16 years old? 14. So it's okay if a 14-year-old speaks something and you feel convicted in your heart, and you can respond to the Lord, okay? So why don't you welcome Sarah as she comes and speaks today. God bless you.
Okay, hi. I'm Sarah. Have you ever had a cup of tea or coffee that you've been wanting to drink for a while, but it's been sitting out and now it's like cold? Now you're probably not going to drink that coffee because it's cold. You were probably going to drink it right when you made it, so it can be nice and warm and you can enjoy it. It's the same with God in us. Revelation 3:15-17 says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. What these verses mean is that you need to pick whether you're on fire for God and chase Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, or you don't. Being a lukewarm Christian means that you consider yourself a Christian, but your actions don't back up your words. You can't be seated at the Lord's table and the table of the demons at the same time. 1 Corinthians 10:21. You can't sing songs that come from demonic artists and come to church and sing worship songs with the same mouth. The enemy has found a new way to corrupt this generation: music. When he was still an angel, he played hymns to the Lord. Now he has used so many artists that have become popular these days to get into our heads. The worst part of all this is that we listen to this music not knowing what the lyrics are or what they truly mean. Being lukewarm isn't just defined by what music you listen to. It's also the clothes you wear, the music you listen to, the people you surround yourself with, the videos, media, movies, and shows you watch, the words you speak, and what you fill your mind with. We need to remember that we don't know when Jesus is coming back. Two verses that talk about this are Matthew 24:36 and Matthew 24:42-44. They both talk about how only God the Father knows when Jesus is truly coming back, and we must be ready for when he does come. Since we don't know the hour or the day, we must live every day with a purposeful heart that spreads the gospel and isn't ashamed. We can't save our faith for later because we're never guaranteed a tomorrow. What would you do if Jesus came back tomorrow? Would you be able to say confidently that you followed him with all your heart, mind, soul, and body? Or would you say that you barely spent time with him, praying and deep in his word? We must repent our sins and truly mean it. This generation doesn't understand that we are called to follow him, be ourselves and who God created us to be, not fit in and be exactly like everyone else around us. We must be proud to be Christ's followers and spread his word to everyone. Going back to the example of Jesus came back tomorrow, would he say to you, good job, my good and faithful servant? Or would he say, depart from me, I never knew you? It is time this generation wakes up and starts following Jesus, not being prideful, demonic, witches, or identify as this. There's a story that goes, a man was sitting in a fence in the middle of a big field. On one side was Jesus and his angels, and on the other side was Satan and his demons. Jesus gathered up his people. Oh, the man didn't know what he wanted, so he just sat on the fence. Jesus gathered up his people and left, and Satan got his people and left. And there the man was, sitting alone on the fence. And the enemy came back and was like, oh, there you are. And the man was like, no, I'm on the fence. And the enemy proceeded to say, the fence belongs to me. So, let's stop being fence-sitters and stop swearing so much, stop wearing ungodly clothes, stop watching unholy videos and media, and let's start reading our Bibles more, start praying more, start replacing all the secular music with worship music, and most importantly, let's fall in love with the Lord and have a real relationship with Him. God spoke to me several times in the past weeks about this topic. Our world has become so corrupt that we forget what our true purpose in life is. In Matthew 28:18-18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am always with you to the very end of the age. These verses are commonly known as the Great Commission, instructions that our Lord Jesus gave to us before he went on the cross. So to conclude this all, let's do as he said and make heaven crowded. Let's start meaning our words so that we get rewarded with, "Welcome home, my faithful servant."
Stay here for just a moment. We're going to pray over the next generation. Every Sunday we pray for the kids. We don't pray for the teenagers often, so I want to pray for them. Okay, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you, Lord, for Sarah, for the other teens. Lord, they're preparing for fine arts. Lord, using the gifts that you've given them to minister and to speak, to share your love, your gospel, your message to them. Lord, I thank you for Sarah to be having the courage today to speak this message that you placed on her heart and you've challenged us today. Lord, if there's areas in our life that we're riding the fence, Lord, help us. We need to turn that over to you. We need to come to you today, God, and I thank you for this message. And we pray that this generation would take this message out and your love for others would go out with them, Lord. And this life-changing transformation message will go out to this younger generation. Lord, I love our young people here, Lord, and the future is bright. God, and we just pray that you would continue to move through them, Lord. Help us not to focus on the bad things that are coming with the younger generation, Lord, but help us to see the potential the way you see this generation. God, help us to invest in them. Lord, help us to bless them. Lord, that we would help them to grow. Lord, that we would extend grace. Lord God, and that we would be sitting on the sidelines, cheering them on, Lord, as they're living for you, as they're going after you, God. And so we bless them today and pray for your anointing and your Holy Spirit to be upon them, Lord, in everything they do. Be with them, protect them, Lord, seal them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Keep them for you, Jesus, that when the enemy does come and tries to take them to his side, Lord, that they would be firm in their foundation of you, God. Oh, that you're with them, you're protecting them, you're holding them, you have them. God, bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. This time we're going to do something a little on the fun side. So I'm going to ask Kent and Vicky, if both of them just Kent, okay? We have a scripture for you, but it's in a puzzle form, okay? Before you put that up there, don't put it up there quite yet. Kent will kind of lead us through this, but this is our verse of the day and a good one to memorize. So put this verse on your hearts, and in the next few weeks, if you can recite this, we restock the candy. Learn this skit, this verse. Thanks, Kent.
Okay, I don't know why they don't send it in words. Instead, they send it in pictures. But we're going to do the best we can with it. What I would like you to do, we're going to put the verse up, not just yet. When we put the verse up, if you know what the next word is, I want you to raise your hand. We don't want it all shouting out at one time. You don't know what it is yet, so you can't raise your hand. Let's put the verse up and see if we can figure out together what this is. Okay. One, two, three. What would fill that blank the best? Four. What's the next word? Did you raise your hand or didn't you? Right there. For the what? For the son. Very good. I think that's right. For the son of my girl and boy. What? Someone else. Someone younger. Sorry. For the Son of Man. Yes, very good. For the Son of Man came, oh my goodness, parallel lines. What would that be? I know it's a tough one. Any other ideas? What'd you say? Two. Two, yes, it's the Roman numeral two. For the Son of Man came to hide and seek. What's a hide and eyes? What's hide and? Yes, right here. What? Seek. Yes, very good. For the Son of Man came to hide, came to seek. That's why I'm not very good at these verses. For the Son of Man came to seek and one blank, blank three. I don't get this stuff. Right here. Two. Another two. For the Son of Man came to seek and, oh my goodness. That's a bad tongue. He should never stick his tongue out like that. What do you think that one is? Who would have an idea for that one? Yes. What? How did you get the word save out of that? Oh, okay, that's right. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the, what's that last one? Who has that one? Someone who hasn't had, yes. Lost. Does that work? For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10. Can you turn it off? We're going to do it without it up there, and we'll see if you guys remember it now. Are you ready? For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.
Good.
Luke 19:10. Good job, guys.
Yeah, give yourself a hand. Thank you, Kent. Appreciate that. All right. The ushers have been patiently, every time I come up here, they're standing up. So I'm going to delay it one more time. We have some, just kidding. So we're going to take up this more purposes of God sending Jesus to earth to live, to die, to be raised from the dead. And we're going to celebrate that on Resurrection Sunday in a few weeks. Okay. Last week we learned that he gives a fullness of life by Jesus living in us. His divine nature comes inside of us and washes out our sinful nature, right? When we're full of the divine, the sinful, the selfish nature can't rule over us. Today, we're going to look at a familiar story about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a... Hey, all right, good. Okay. But first, I want to read a key moment that began the ministry of Jesus. Remember at Christmas time, we read of prophecies from Isaiah of God sending the Messiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Another one says that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Those prophecies, those predicted the Messiah's birth and his death. And there's many more. There's even some about his resurrection. But also in Isaiah 61, God prophesies about the ministry, mission, and purpose of the Messiah. For centuries, the Jews would study this. They knew the prophecies, so that's why they were looking for the birth of the Messiah. And when the Messiah would come, they knew what he was coming to do. They would learn from it. They would gather together and study those for hundreds and hundreds of years leading up to the Messiah's birth. So when Jesus was born, he was recognized as the coming Messiah. But about 30 years go by before he begins doing the miracles and the teachings and the preachings and the ministry that he had come to do. John the Baptist, during those years kind of leading up to Jesus, John the Baptist is testifying to his followers that Jesus Christ is here, he's coming. So there's hundreds of people following John the Baptist that One day, Jesus comes to him to be baptized. And if you remember that, the heavens open. The Holy Spirit comes down on Jesus kind of like a dove, and this booming voice of God says, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." Remember that? And the anointing of the Holy Spirit came on Jesus for his ministry time. So Jesus, next he goes into the wilderness for 40 days, and he's tempted, but he never sins. Then in Luke 4, a key moment takes place. Jesus is a good, faithful Jew. He would go to the synagogue often, and he would participate in the things of the worship there and the speaking of the word. And so this one day, he goes there. And it was normal for people, it was a different setting than kind of what we're used to. You're used to this, right? Sitting there and a person is up here speaking to you. There it was a little less formal, often just for the speaking of the word, the Bible, the prophecies, they would stand and then they would sit and kind of discuss what was learned, okay? And so in that setting, Jesus stands up. And he opens a scroll of Isaiah, and we read in Luke 4:17, he reads the prophecy from Isaiah 61 that gives the ministry of the Messiah. It says, "And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" Then he rolled up the scroll and he gives it back to the attendant, and he sits down. And that would be the time when he would begin to explain what was just read, or the teachers would. And it says, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened onto Jesus. And he began by saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And that's a big statement right there. And all of the people in the room spoke well of him, and they're amazed at his gracious words that came from his lips. And the ministry of Jesus Christ began in that moment. There are so many people that Jesus saved and that he healed, that he set free to fulfill this prophecy. As I was studying for this topic, my mind would go to the many examples from the Word of God. Who did he preach good news? Who were the poor that he preached good news to? Who were the prisoners that he set free? Who were the ones that he healed of their blindness, or the oppressed that he set free? What are some examples? We'll open it up to you guys. Tell me some of the people in the Bible that would fit this category, that Jesus preached to, healed, set free. Throw some out there. Mary Magdalene. The blind man. So you have blind Bartimaeus. You have, the 10 lepers. What are some more? The woman at the well, Nathan? Say it loud. The paralyzed man? Yeah. The woman with the issue of blood? Yeah, the man that they lowered down through the ceiling. That was an awesome story, right? What else? Lazarus? Oh, she took yours? Oh, man. Okay. And there's probably more, right? And so today we're going to look at Zacchaeus and his story, because another great statement is made at the end of it, the verse that you've learned today, okay? And Jesus speaks it out concerning his purpose, okay? And so if you could turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, you can follow along there, or it'll be up on the screen. As you turn there, there are some things that we know about Zacchaeus, okay? One being his stature. He was short. One was he was a chief tax collector. Jesus did a lot with tax collectors. He even made one of them his disciple. But Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. So he's over a big group of tax collectors and telling them how to tax the people and collecting, you know, from those that can't pay, right? So Zacchaeus isn't a fun guy to be around, okay? Our IRS agents are nice people, I think. I've never really dealt with them, but they're not, they don't have the reputation that tax collectors from Rome did, okay? This story takes place right before Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, where the crowd of people are going before him, and there's hundreds there, okay? So Jesus, in this moment, in the story of Zacchaeus, is not alone on a desert road just wandering, okay? There are hundreds, maybe upward 1,000 people around Jesus, following him and his ministry everywhere he would go, okay? And so that's where this story begins. So it's starting in Luke 19. I think I'm going to have some help with our story. So kids, do you like to act out the Bible story? Do we have any helpers that want to help me? Okay. If you want to be in the story, come on up here, because we need a large crowd too. Zacchaeus was short and he can't see out of the crowd, so we would need people. Okay? So come on up if you want to act out our story. All right, that's a good group. And we have some good tall people and some short people. We don't make fun of short people, okay? But I'm going to have Nathan. You're going to be Zacchaeus. Can you be Zacchaeus? Is that cool? You get to climb a ladder and pretend it's a tree, but you can't swing from it because you might crash or something, okay? All right. So, beginning in verse 1, it says, Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. Remember, he's on his way to Jerusalem for that big moment. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Wave to everybody, Nathan. You're Zacchaeus. This is Zacchaeus right here. Okay? He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. No, we're not going to let you handle the money. That was a fleeting thought for a moment. Okay, but Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but there was a problem. Everybody gather around Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, stand in the middle. Okay, go out in the middle, and everybody stand up around him. Okay, so if Jesus was coming down one of the aisles or coming from the side, Nathan, can you see anything outside of these lovely people that are around you? Like, do you see Steve that leads our worship? Can you find him? Do you see him anywhere? Or can you see your dad up in the sound booth? Why not? Try to look around. Maybe jump as high as you can. Can you see him? Oh, no? Okay, so now you kind of know what Zacchaeus was feeling like. Okay, Jesus was coming through his town. And Zacchaeus had heard the news, and he wanted to see Jesus. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing that was on the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit on Jesus, was bringing him through Jericho. Everything Jesus did was purposeful, okay? And I believe Jesus knew he was going to meet Zacchaeus today. And Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus. Okay? So something was stirring in Zacchaeus' heart that, man, I need to see this guy, Jesus. And I can't see him. I can't jump high enough. I can't move through the crowd, right? Zacchaeus was one of these that had been prophesied that Jesus would meet. Was he poor? No, he was probably one of the wealthiest, but poor in spirit. Jesus says, blessed are those poor in spirit, right? It means they're afflicted in their heart, in their soul. They're downcast. Was he a prisoner? Well, he wasn't in jail, but his greed had probably forced him to be oppressed and a prisoner of that pride and that greed. Was he oppressed? What I think of in this situation, who's oppressed? He was probably treated badly. He probably deserved it because he was treating others badly. We're going to see he's going to confess to some of those things of what he did. Okay? So I would say Zacchaeus was the type of person that Jesus, the Messiah, was prophesied to minister to. Okay? Zacchaeus has no doubt heard of Jesus, maybe through other tax collectors like Matthew, who was a tax collector, and Jesus called him, and he was following Jesus at this time. Okay, word has gotten around, and Zacchaeus needs to see Jesus. Okay, his determination shows that the greed was eating at him, and he knows the freedom. He's seen the freedom that others have when they meet Jesus. I gotta meet Jesus. So Zacchaeus does something crazy. Okay, this is his chance. So my notes like got all weird. The printer didn't print right, so I'm like squiggly lines here. Okay, so Zacchaeus does something kind of undignified for a person of his stature, for a little kid. Like, we love to climb trees, right? But when people are around and you're an adult, I don't want to climb a tree. I'll just maybe try to find Jesus another day. No, he wants to find Jesus today. And so he does something crazy. Verse 4 says that he ran ahead, and you can run up to this ladder. Both sides of that ladder you can climb. Nathan, just Nathan, no one else, okay? We don't want everybody to get hurt. So verse 4 says he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now you can look around. Can you find your dad? You see him? Do you find the worship leader, Steve? You remember what he looks like? Do you see him? Yeah? Can you see who's the farthest person away that you can see? Do you see the people waving way back there? Yeah. So now you can see everybody, right? And guess what? Jesus can see you. Stay there. Please don't fall. Please don't fall. Please don't fall. I have a bad track record with illustrations going on, okay? But I want to tell you today that Jesus has seen you. Jesus is coming your way. He has stepped into our world for you. And don't let any of the circumstances of life, Zacchaeus could have easily used some of these excuses to not see Jesus, okay? But instead, he was persistent. I'm going to find a way. Jesus is coming. I need to meet him, okay? So verse 5 says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to Zacchaeus and he said, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Of all the hundreds of people in that spot, in that moment, and Jesus needs to meet with Zacchaeus. I believe it was this ordained time. Okay, so Zacchaeus came down. He welcomes Jesus. And welcomes him to his home. I don't know where you want to live today, but that'll be the end of our illustration. Okay, so give them a hand. He didn't crash. Good. Good. Okay. Children, you can have a seat. And we're going to pretend that Jesus and Nathan and all of his best friends are having a party right now for the next few minutes, okay? I didn't want to act that part out either. So, but that's what's happening in the meantime, okay? Between verse 6 and verse 7, we know that there's this long period of time. Verse 7 says that all the people saw Zacchaeus and Jesus, the disciples, Zacchaeus' family, whoever was there. They're watching them walk to Zacchaeus' house. They're probably standing outside Zacchaeus' house waiting for Jesus. And they're upset. They're grumbling and they're muttering something like this. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. They were saying it probably more than just one person one time. That's what Luke recorded. But they were saying that. And so they have this attitude that Jesus shouldn't be hanging out with that guy. He's the one that cheated me out of money. And he cheated me out of my property. And he's a sinner. Jesus has had dinner with other sinners, a lot of other sinners, multiple times. Okay? Jesus not only sees Zacchaeus, but he knows his name. And he takes it even a step further and says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. It would have pleased Zacchaeus enough probably if Jesus would have just high-fived him or spoke to him. But that wasn't what was ordained for that day. Jesus needed to spend time with Zacchaeus. He calls him by name and spends time ministering to him. Jesus knows you by name. He calls you by name. He wants to spend time with all of us, every single one of us. I wish the people outside had a little bit of a better attitude. And maybe, man, Jesus stays with Zacchaeus. Oh, man, he's going to stay with me next meal, right? And Jesus is going to hang out with me. Jesus is going to minister. My turn's coming. We just need to be with Jesus. Okay, but they're upset. This isn't something new. People complaining about him sharing meals with sinners has happened a few times. Actually, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus responds to them and says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick, right? Jesus came to heal the sick. It doesn't seem like Zacchaeus has the flu or a disease that was common in that day. He's not dying, right? But his spiritual condition is not well. His spiritual condition, his sin has corrupted him. It's separated him from God, right? And Jesus has come to heal him. Jesus' main purpose for all of us. Sin has corrupted all of us. And Jesus' purpose in coming was to save and redeem us, to get us off the fence. Okay? I love that illustration story today. That Jesus wants to save us off of the fence. There's a battle over our soul. Okay? And Jesus wants to win that battle and have us forever. He wants us. Moving on in our story, after a period of time with Jesus, verse 8, Zacchaeus stood up and says to the whole group, we don't know how many people are at this dinner party, but he says, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. He makes this great confession that I've cheated people. And I know there's people poor in wealth that I can bless. And I'm going to do that today. And Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house. After spending time with the Lord, we see evidence of a life change, a transformation has taken place in Zacchaeus. And in response, he stands and he declares his intentions of a new life. It's a clear sign of repentance. The act of giving money doesn't save you. If you remember, Jesus had a conversation with the rich man, and the rich man said, how do I obtain eternal life? And he said, sell all you have and give it to the poor. And the rich man went away sad because he didn't want to do that. It doesn't show in this story that Jesus made that statement to Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus, out of the love for God, out of love for people, has realized, I have this money and I need to give it. For too long, I've been taking and taking and taking and feeding greed, and now I want to get rid of that. And what that means to him, money meant a lot to Zacchaeus, and now it means I'm giving up my life. I'm giving it to Christ, okay? It was a clear sign of repentance and a result of salvation. Then Jesus wraps up this incredible moment and he makes another declaration of his purpose. And it's the verse that we memorized today. Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus needed Jesus. And he wanted to make it easy for Jesus to find him. He was going to be persistent and do what it takes to see Jesus, to meet with Jesus. Before Jesus found Zacchaeus, he was lost and in need of rescue. With joy, Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus into his home and into his heart to change his life, to transform him. The whole life of this man has been changed by this time spent with Jesus. No longer is he among the lost. If the worship team will come, we're going to close. Jesus seeks you. And for a lot of us, we've experienced that. We've experienced being found by Jesus. We've experienced being set free by Jesus. Like the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son that Jesus shares. Jesus seeks. He is looking. When we're lost, he's not watching us like run around frantically. What am I going to do? How do I fix my life? Jesus is seeking us. Okay? He wants to find you. Jesus loves the worst of sinners. And for some reason at that time, tax collectors were viewed as one of the worst. And Jesus found Zacchaeus. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord. God, for your redemption and your salvation, God. For the promise that you've come to not only to seek us out, Lord, you want to find us, you want to save us, God. You want to fulfill the prophecy of the Messiah. Lord, that you have come to preach the gospel to the poor, to set free the captive, to heal the blind eyes. Lord, and bring freedom to the oppressed. Lord, all of those are describing our spiritual condition. God, you healed physical needs like blindness and sickness. You set captives free. Like the man that was just tormented and in a prison, you do set free. God, but you set us free from the chains of addictions, Lord. You set us free from the chains of sin. Lord, the things that bind us and try to keep us from you, you break those things, God. And we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. God, church, today we're going to close in a song. And I'm going to be down here. I'd love to pray with you. If God is just working on your heart and you want to pray, God, I'd love to have you come forward in prayer. Spend this time thinking on these things. Sing with the worship team if you would like. Pray on your own, or pray with me if you'd like to come forward.
The highest King
would welcome, but he brought